Well, this is another special hour for us, and what a great time. You know, the holiday season is sort of a time of reflection. We sit around and we share stories and memories. We kind of pause for a moment on where we've been. We look ahead to where we're going. And so as we approach Christmas, it's an absolute treat to have the legendary Arkansas football coach Frank Broyles, and most recently his stint as athletic director and now athletic director emeritus, and really an ambassador for the University of Arkansas. Coach, you doing all right today? It's great
to have
you in the
studio. Yes, sir. I'm doing fine. I'm enjoying myself, and I appreciate the great support that the fans still give the Razorbacks and where we're heading in the future. We're all excited. I'm excited about the Razorbacks' future.
Well, you know, if it remains this cold out, you're going to have to move because you can't hit golf balls in 25-degree weather.
Well, I don't have enough work to do to keep me in the office, so I don't know what I'm going to do with this cold weather. Of course, we've got an indoor practice facility in golf that we built for me, not for me, obviously, but that I can use in the cold weather.
You know, when you sit there in your office and you have coffee with the guys that I know that you have around you that you've spent so many years with building the athletic program at the University of Arkansas, you're over there by Baum Stadium. You ever look out there and see that stadium, and are you amazed that Arkansas has a baseball stadium like that? And then I imagine that leads to other thoughts about the great facilities that you got to be a part of.
Well, yes, we do have wonderful facilities, but that was keeping up with the Joneses and trying to be nationally competitive. We had to give the coaches facilities that would rank with any in the country, and our fans supported us, and we were able to build it without borrowing much money.
Yeah, you talk about fan support and building it. That's got to be difficult because it seems with each passing year, there's more to keep up with, and it's more expensive, you know?
Is it ever? When you see what the coaches are making, Darryl Roll and I said, hey, Frank, we were born way too soon, way too soon. I'm telling you. But, you know, you're keeping up with the Joneses. I'm not being critical of it at all. I'm disappointed that they have to do it. I think the ADs are also. But the marketplace, if you don't get competitive and stay competitive in the marketplace, you're going to be second class.
What does it take to continue raising that money and getting that support?
Well, the fans pay for it. I mean, the fans pay. When it's just like my grandchildren. My children complain about the cost of education at the University of Arkansas. I've got 9 grandchildren in the university, and the tuition fees keep going up. Well, the price of the tickets and contributions is going to go up. As we have to meet competition, we have to get the fans to give more money. The fans are going to pay for it. The fans are going to pay for it. The fans are going to pay for it.
You know, you've often talked about that Razorback miracle that was really fired by inspired by the passion of Razorback fans. But when you were athletic director, it seems to me that you did, and even as coach, you plugged into that. You figured out ways to kind of hit those buttons where you could bring that passion out. How do you keep Razorback fans excited about the Razorbacks?
Winning, winning, and winning.
No secret.
There's no secret whatsoever. The challenge, the opportunity, and belief. Belief that they can win. You don't have to win all the time. No team does. But you have to believe that you can win. And the Razorback passion is that we can win, and they believe it, and they support us.
There's got to be some strategy, it seems, Coach, there with continuing to give them hope. You know, when you're struggling, sometimes all it takes is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think about football last year. They went 5-7, but I didn't run into a single Razorback fan that didn't think the next year was going to be great.
LSU, 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 that great comeback victory against LSU the last game of the season gave us great hope for the future. And that's what the Razorback fans, they have hope for the future. They believe in the future. They believe in the coaches. And when you have a bad season, we start looking to good things next year. But that's the Razorback passion. Now, if we just had fans, let me just give you a quick difference. When I coached other schools, the fans would say they were looking forward to the football season. In Arkansas, they say, I can't wait to the football season. That's the passion. I can't wait for the football season is the passion that keeps us going.
Legendary Frank Broyles joining us in studio today. So happy to have him in here. Sports Talk brought to you in part by Gassano Chicago Style Pizza. All guests on Sports Talk join us via the Gassano Chicago Style Pizza hotline. With 5 locations throughout Arkansas, their newest on Weddington and Fayetteville. Did you ever have a bad day as athletic director?
Well, I wouldn't let it be a bad day for very long. I didn't go home with a bad day. I learned back many years ago from some people and all that you can make every day a good day if you want to. Now, you've got to be able to accept certain things and be able to leave them at the office. But I went home happy and ready to look forward. And every day I worked at the University of Arkansas, which was 50 years, I look forward to coming to work. I look forward to coming to work because I believe we had the best fans in the country and we had opportunities, and it was my job to put it together.
That's exciting just to hear. Would you be willing to share with us a little bit of what your daily routine looked like, what time you got up, what you did before you went to work, and what your day looked like a little bit?
This is before while I was coaching.
When you were athletic director. When
I was athletic director, I got to the office with my secretary, Danita Hubbard, Richard, who had been with me for many, many years, and she'd have my plan outlined there. But my athletic director responsibility was to give confidence to the coaches. My athletic responsibility was let the coaches know that we cared, and we were supporting them, and we were going to give them everything we could to give them, to make them competitive. And so that was my goal every day. What can I do to help the coaches be more competitive, to let them know that we're behind them and the fans are behind them, and give them confidence that they can do the job? That was my main responsibility.
I heard that you used to walk about 4 a.m. Was that because you couldn't sleep or because you got up early?
Well, I got up early so I could walk and get to the office on time, because I'd forget it during the daytime. If I waited till noon, I'd get so occupied, I'd wait till the afternoon, I didn't get it done. So I walked very early in the morning.
And when did you get your clear your head time, for my lack of vocabulary here? When you were able to just kind of clear your head and get visions and ideas for where you were going, when did you best get that time?
I became athletic director. As a football coach, you never have a clear head. You're thinking about the plays. You think there's so much involved and so exciting to be a football coach. I don't know of any job in America that equals the challenge and the opportunities and all the rewards that a football coach gets. He's working with 22 players, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, strategy, getting his game plan, knowing your opponent, having a peak effort, which is making the good players great players and the great players super players, and not making mistakes. There's just a constant work on preparation. There's no substitute for good preparation. Now, let me get this. Tell the fans this. Anything, anybody listening to this audience, they want to be successful, your greatest asset is your attitude. Your greatest asset is your attitude. In every staff meeting that I had, we discussed football players, and the first thing a coach would say, he's got a great attitude. That meant he was going to do his best. He was going to have a peak effort. He was going to be prepared, and he wasn't going to make mistakes. If he doesn't have a good attitude, then he's complaining, and he's not going to put the time effort into it, and he's going to be sitting on the bench. So when the coach said his attitude is his greatest asset, he's got a great attitude. I tell everybody, every speech that I make, your attitude is your greatest asset.
And we all have a choice on that, don't we?
We have a choice on that. You can be negative, you can be positive, and I say to you, if you've got your attitude, if it's correct, there's nothing to substitute for positive. Success and positive attitude and enthusiasm go together.
Have you always been positive?
Or yes.
Was there a time in your life where you had to make that transition?
No. I've been positive all my life. I was a quarterback in college. I've had so many good things happen to me and so very few negative things happen to me in my life. I've had a charm life. Being a football coach and athletic director at Arkansas was a charm life. It was a job I wanted. It was the one job I wanted. I never let my name get mentioned because it was the job that I felt like was my dream job.
Frank Broyles is with us, the Arkansas current ambassador and athletic director emeritus, but prior to that, obviously the legendary football coach and athletic director at the University of Arkansas, spending some time with us in studio today, reflecting. We're going to get his thoughts on some current issues in sports, like should there be a playoff or should we keep the bowl system and the BCS? And how did he recruit? How did he go about getting results and managing conflict as the athletic director? Some leadership tips and some other thoughts from Frank Broyles. As we continue on this special edition of Sports Talk, we are certainly glad to have you along. The bowl season begins December 19th. We've been telling you some of the gifts and things that you get at the bowl games and what it all means for Arkansas to be able to practice an extra 3 weeks this year. It's the Springdale Tractor Bowl season. You know, for the last several years, Springdale Tractor on Highway 412 in Springdale has been the number one Kubota dealer in the state. And there's a reason for that. So if you're in the market for a tractor, you should stop by Springdale Tractor. They'll make you a great deal. The number one Kubota dealer in the nation, not just Arkansas, in the nation. We're visiting with Arkansas's legendary football coach and athletic director, Frank Broyles, in studio today. Coach, you know, one thing about you is you were considered to be a great football coach. You guys won 22 straight. Not only were you a great coach, though, you have so many coaches that coached with you or players that played for you that went on to have a lot of success on their own and gave you a lot of credit for things that you taught them. And while you were a good football mind and got a lot of credit for that, life for you was a lot more than X's and O's.
X's and O's. I tell all of our coaches, Bo, that being an expert on the X's and O's of football will not make you successful. You've got to build relationships. You build relationships with all the constituencies. That's the faculty, the staff, the newspaper, the fans, the high school coaches. You build relationships, and success will follow. If you just try to do the X's and O's, you'll be short-lived as a coach.
What is it about building a relationship that you figured out in life? Why did that matter to you?
Well, you build relationships because those relationships are going to be part of the effort to keep you in your job, help you recruiting, sell tickets, and do everything. But build relationships is good communication, being fair, and also being trustworthy and having an attitude of gratitude. You have to be fair, and you have to be a long-term relationship, and then success will follow. I tell every businessman that I talk to, every speech I talk to, you have got to build relationships, and success will follow. Don't try to build a customer and then build a relationship. It will fail.
You know, when you're in any position of leadership, you want people to do things, and they don't always do it, and it can be really frustrating. How did you go about trying to get everybody on the same page and dealing with the frustration of the human factor when it came to getting results?
It's motivation. A head football coach, if he wants to improve his program, he improves assistant coaches. You improve your teaching if you want to improve your program because that develops leadership. You need leaders and leaders on your team. And you build leadership among your team by giving them confidence. Let them know that they care and have them prepared. And so that they go out there ready to give a peak performance. Felt like it was important to give a peak performance.
Frank Broyles, our guest in studio today. Appreciate him being here. And this is just a great time for us to get some interesting thoughts, even behind the scenes with you. And we're going to get to some more behind-the-scenes stuff as we move through the hour. You had so many assistant coaches go on to become great head coaches. But part of that, Coach, meant that you didn't have guys for very long at times. And we're seeing that today. You know, it seems like every year there's turnover on staffs, not only because some guys are let go, but in a lot of cases, Florida, for example, last year they lost their offensive coordinator to be a head coach. This year they lose their defensive coordinator to be a head coach. I know that you wanted guys to do that, but how did you keep the continuity on your staff?
Bo, I wanted one coach to leave every year so I could go hire another one with new and good ideas to bring to the program. I didn't want to lose two or three coaches off of my staff, but I look forward to getting one of them a head coaching job, and that gave me a chance to look around, choose somebody that had some thoughts and ideas in football developing that would add to our program. And every new coach we brought in, we let him give us all of his game plans and all of his strategy and all the things that he believed in, and then we would take from that and add to ours. We improved our program by losing one coach every year. I didn't want to lose two or three, I repeat, but I wanted one of my coaches to get a head job every year. That helped me stay ahead of the game.
Was there any continuity issues with that?
No, absolutely not. I was the head coach. I coached both offense and defense. And so when we hired a defensive coach, he would bring his ideas in, and we would negotiate and talk and decide which are the best. But I had coached both sides of the ball, and I coach both sides of the ball all the time that I coach, not on the field, but in the strategy and the planning and so forth. And so losing a coach helped me because it brought in somebody with different ideas that would give me new thoughts and all that could improve. 5%, that's big. 5%. Just add 5% of new things to what you're doing successfully, and it takes you to the next level.
Take me behind the scenes a little bit with how you would go about preparing for a game during the week. What would your days and week look like?
Well, the first thing is there's no substitute for good preparation. And I drill that into our players all the time. You've got to be prepared. If you're prepared, it starts with knowing your opponent. I take the game against Texas in 1965. They went ahead, obviously, in the game 24-20, and we had one good possession left. I called the team up, and I said, you remember, we looked at that film, and Texas on first down will not double cover our wide receiver. We're going to throw a short pass on every first down, nothing else. That's what we know about our opponents, and that'll let us win the game. Bobby Crockett caught 7 passes for 8 to 12 yards. We moved 80 yards, ran the quarterback sneak to win the game 27-24 at the end because we were prepared, we knew our opponent, and we took advantage of what we knew about our opponent.
You know, we hear stuff like it's not about the X's and the O's, it's the Jimmys and the Joes. You got to go get great players. But there's an element beyond that about getting guys that are willing to put that kind of time in.
Well, you need the great players, don't get me wrong, but the 64 National Championship team had character. And I mean they had a willingness to be the best, and they not only improved week by week and ended up shutting out, giving 0 points to the last 5 teams on our schedule. That's not just defense. That meant the offense didn't turn the ball over, that the offense made first downs, and when they didn't score, they kicked it to the 20-yard line, and our defense could stop them before they scored. And we shut out the last 5 teams because we had a great team effort. We believed in ourselves, and we got out there and knew that when we shut out an opponent, we bragged on the offense. When we scored a lot of points, we bragged on the defense. Seriously, because you score a lot of points, the defense was returned a punt, intercepted pass, got the ball in good field position for you. That's how you score a lot of points. The way you don't score points against you, the opponents don't, is your offense gives it up on that. If they don't score, they give it up on their own 10 or 15-yard line back then. They can't score.
Boy, that was a special team. There's no doubt about that. 22 straight. Frank Broyles, our guest, he coached that legendary national championship team for the University of Arkansas, and you know him well, not only as a football coach, but the former athletic director at the University of Arkansas. And he's with us in studio. His thoughts on a playoff when we come back on Sports Talk. Frank Broyles with us in studio, legendary Arkansas football coach and athletic director. Hey, thanks for making Sports Talk part of your day. We're brought to you in part by Superior Mazda on Moberly Lane in Bentonville, where the newest revolution is taking place. And that newest revolution is the combination of feeling in total control when you drive a vehicle, safe, and stylish. All three of those is what you'll get. 5-star rating is what you're going to get with Superior Mazda vehicles, but yet sleek and stylish, and you'll feel completely in control when you drive it. Try the 2010 Mazda 3, $198 per month, zero down on a 42-month lease, and they're a Gold Cup dealer in Arkansas. That means they're number one in customer satisfaction. It's Superior Mazda, Moberly Lane in Bentonville. Coach, I was thinking about you when I was watching the Big 12 championship game, and Nebraska thought they'd won.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had to put 1 second back in the clock, and I wondered if that brought back some nightmare Texas moments for you.
Not just me, all Arkansas fans.
Yeah.
they know what it means when the officials take over.
When you went into Texas games, did you ever use that as something that you would tell the team, like, hey, don't leave this up to the officials?
No, I didn't, because I didn't want to make an issue of it. I acted like the officials, and they do their best they could. But living in Texas, working in Texas, I don't know. Lou Holtz said that, you know, that they were born in Texas and lived in Texas, and they're Texans.
Yeah.
And that's all you have to say. But that's, you know, there's more to it.
Well, and you know what, Coach? Look, officials, by and large, have a very difficult job, and they do a great job.
They do.
But we understand that. But it's also been proven, or at least researched and concluded in studies, that officials are swayed by different things. You know, a recent basketball study showed that officials would call a game differently if one team had a whole lot of fouls, team fouls, and the other team didn't have many fouls, and things like that. But when you saw the Florida, did you watch the Florida-Arkansas game?
Yes.
Did you have some ill feelings about what took place in that game?
Well, not only did I have the ill feel, those officials were suspended and not going to allow it to be a bowl game because of the mistakes. Here's the thing that upsets coaches. An official can make a mistake in a call, but when he creates a call, no, don't create a call and punish a team by creating a call that isn't there. Now, to not call one because it didn't see it, it happens all the time. But this one, Arkansas Razorback, they created a call. And the coaches created that call. They were suspended. And they're not going to be able to do a bowl game. And that's the way it should be if they create a call that makes a difference in the outcome of the game.
And it didn't help you get the game back, but at least there was some sort of closure to it by what they did later.
That ain't where, you know, you want the game.
Yeah. There's no question about that. Well, when you talk to coaches, I don't know how much you talk to coaches on the sideline when you're a coach, and I know today's coaches, they seem to have a constant dialogue going with officials. But when you did speak with officials, you knew most of the time, 99.9% of the time, they're not going to change their call. So what are you trying to accomplish when you talk to an official on the sideline?
You know, I didn't talk to them.
No?
I didn't. I stayed away from them. I knew that if I talked to them, I'm going to make them worse and feel badly about me. So I supported them. And if they missed the call, I just say, well, you missed that one. But we all miss them, you know. But I didn't talk to the officials at all.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because I wonder about that. To me, some of the things that get said to officials, it can't help but affect you in a negative way the next time that official has a call.
They're in the game, it's their call, and you don't have anything, you might as well play up to them.
All right, Coach, let's go to the biggest debate in college sports today. We've got the BCS Bowl set. We've got the 34 bowl games total, or 32, I guess 64 teams competing. Do you think we should stick with the current system, or should college football have a playoff at this level?
Well, the public would like to have a playoff. But to keep college football strong, we don't need a playoff for many, many reasons. Of course, the one simple reason is you couldn't, your fans, suppose that we win the playoffs and our first game was in Miami and our fans went to Miami and our second game was in Los Angeles. How many fans can the next week buy tickets and go to L.A.? And then the third game's in Chicago. How many fans could then come back to work and go the next weekend to Chicago? A very limited number. Where in basketball, they play around, but they only get 500 tickets. And so you're talking about 500 people going. But let me say this. If we had playoffs, we would do away with the bowls, and we would have to have a draft. The top schools with a top population base like Ohio or Florida with 17 million people, they're going to control because they just reload. They don't ever have to rebuild. And if they're in the playoffs every year, which they'd be 4 out of 5 years, and you would have you do away with bowls. That's the tough part. And let me just tell you this. I read about Nebraska, and they went to 35 straight bowls in a row. And that's all. They don't talk about how many national championships they won. They talk about their consistency of going to a bowl. We talk about our bowls. There are going to be 72 teams this year going to a bowl in 36 Division I bowls. And they'll go back and recruit. The players will be positive about their program, looking forward to next year. The recruits will be there, and the fans will be there. But if the season ends because they can't ever get into one of the 8 teams in a playoff, the fans drop out, the students drop out, and the recruiting drops out. And you'd have 15 teams playing college football.
Well, that's a really interesting observation. And we're going to talk more about it after the break, because you're saying that you're really eliminating half the teams that are currently benefiting from postseason football. And that's an interesting thing. We'll take a little bit of a different look at it. We're also going to go back in time a little bit with Frank Broyles to the hire of Eddie Sutton, the hire of Nolan Richardson. What kind of risk was he taking at the time? What was he looking for at the time in hopes of getting Arkansas's basketball program nationally relevant? It's all as we continue with the legendary Frank Broyles. Boy, this is a special edition of Sports Talk, and we're glad to have you along with us. If you miss any of it, go to sportstalkwithbo.com. This interview with Frank Broyles will be up in its entirety at sportstalkwithbo.com. The legendary Arkansas football coach and athletic director joins us in studio. You've said something in terms of the playoff slash or playoff versus bowl system that I have yet to hear. And it's really interesting to me. You used the word draft. When you first used it, I thought maybe you were talking about where the sites would be for a college football playoff. And you said you're for keeping the bowls. But you also were explaining to me in the break, when you talked about draft, you think if they go to a playoff system, that they would actually have to go to a system of not recruiting college football players, but drafting them. What do you mean?
But then they'd get first pick. They'd have a certain number of picks and be last to pick. All the pros have playoffs, but they have draft too, so that the team doesn't, they win the playoffs, doesn't get the best players out of college the next year and control the next year and the next year. If you had playoffs, in my judgment, you eliminate the bowls, there'll be about 12 or 14 teams that can qualify over a period of time for the playoffs and be in the among the eight teams, and the rest of them will go down to nothing, in my judgment. I believe that the parity in college football and the success we have with 72 teams in a bowl game with 36 bowls gives those teams a benefit to recruit fans, recruit players, and recruit positive attitudes and so forth. Where if there are only 15 teams in America, there are 15 teams in America would be in the bowl. In the playoff, if you had eight teams, they'd be in there four out of five times. They'd control recruiting. They'd be so much better than everybody else, it wouldn't be funny.
And some would say, well, what about the current BCS bowls? Like, the teams going to the BCS bowls, aren't they just going to get fatter and richer and more players each year?
I would tell you that I can't tell you who finished second last year. And I won't remember which teams went to the playoffs. All I remember is there were 76 of them, 72 of them went to bowls. And that's all they talk about.
Yeah,
and when I read something about Nebraska and getting ready to play Texas, they'd been to 35 straight bowl games. That's all. They didn't talk about a national championship. They talked about the 30. That's what they use in recruiting. That's what they in recruiting their fans, their players, and their everybody. It's all about having some success. And if you go to a bowl, you consider a success, and that helps your recruiting, helps your fan base, and helps your ticket sales the next year, and helps parity. Gives us parity in America,
and if we have a playoff, it all becomes about that
the
playoff.
The schools that got the biggest population base that we can be able to recruit year in and year out, and all the great players want to go to play in those teams, and nobody will be equal to them, and you'll do away with the spread of college football that we have today.
And I don't follow the football championship subdivision or whatever it is, you know, the 1AA. I don't follow that closely, but it does seem like a lot of the same teams are successful in that playoff every year.
Well, you get there, they've got that to sell, and they're going to use that in recruiting, where right now 72 teams can say they went to a bowl.
Yeah.
But if you have a playoff, the one of them went to the championship, there were eight in the playoff. And we have 106 teams and 72 of them in bowls, only eight of them get to go to the playoff.
What about the college basketball term? Is that totally different?
Totally different, because in basketball, you have, 20, 26 games or something like that.
30, roughly.
And 30 games, and it still helps in the fact that they go to one game. And they take, 60-some-odd teams?
Mm-hmm.
Just about
65,
as many teams as we take the bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they get those teams all say they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They made the playoffs. And that's the same thing I'm talking about. We make the bowl, or they make the playoff.
Well, that's really interesting. We're visiting with the legendary Frank Broyles here in studio. That's a totally different take than I've heard from anybody on the play. I've had Bill Hancock, the BCS coordinator, on the show. I've had different coaches talk about it. That's a really
been in the field recruiting.
That's a fascinating
like
take.
I've been out recruiting against Texas.
I'm telling you. Well, speaking of the NCAA tournament, when you went out and hired Eddie Sutton, what was your thought process on what you wanted to have happen with the Razorback basketball?
I wanted Razorback basketball to come back to where it was, but back in the old days, Arkansas has won more basketball championships than any team in the Southwest Conference. They'd won something like 24 championships. We wanted to reestablish basketball. We have the weather here where basketball is important. Basketball was important in the high schools, and we needed the money from basketball. Basketball was costing us money in the second year of Eddie Sutton. we had a $5 million profit in basketball, which helped us pay for track, helped us play for baseball, so we could give full when I took over as athletic director, the spring sports got three half scholarships, a scholarship and a half. They weren't fully supported. Half of them didn't play in the Southwest Conference. We didn't have the money. But the minute that we established the fan base and all in this way, we could support and have full. The one thing when I became athletic director, I'd been told, please let our track team, please let our tennis team play. My son was a great tennis player, but he had to go to SMU because he didn't give a scholarship. My first year there, we fully funded every sport.
You mentioned the Southwest Conference. When we come back, I want to talk about how life has changed for Arkansas since you joined the SEC. And that's something that you did when you were athletic director. And also, from what Frank Broyles just described with the Arkansas basketball program to where they are today, what happened? We'll get his take on that when we continue on this special edition of Sports Talk with the legendary Frank Broyles. It's such a treat to have him in studio, and we're glad that he's here. Certainly appreciate you making this part of your day. You can catch any of it at sportstalkwithbo.com if you miss it. Sports Talk brought to you in part today by the Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Robert Tomlinson and the Orthopedic Institute want to get you back in the game of life fast, and they understand that surgery is usually not the best option. You call them, they'll get you an appointment within 24 hours. The Orthopedic Institute. If you need orthopedic attention, you should trust the care of Dr. Robert Tomlinson. Life in the SEC, what changed for Arkansas, and what happened to Arkansas basketball after that great run? Well, it's been a great hour that we've got to spend here on Sports Talk with the legendary coach and athletic director at Arkansas, Frank Broyles. Coach, we were just talking about basketball, and, you know, crowds haven't been great. Obviously, they didn't win much last year. What happened? What, you know, I guess it kind of started with that NCAA faux pas or whatever towards the end of Nolan's tenure, and then Nolan didn't have a lot of success in terms of, or at least in comparison to the kind of success that he had at Arkansas. What's happened with Arkansas basketball? How did we get to where we are today?
Well, we're where we are today because first, let me go back and say Eddie Sutton turned it around the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had something like 346 straight sellouts.
Mm.
And many of them are 20 and lately and 20,000 per game because our fans believe we could win, that we were going to win. They did a great job. And winning breeds winning. And Eddie Sutton did the same thing. Nolan came in after 1 year, turned the program right back around to where we were winning. We were respected, and we could get the best athletes. All of a sudden, we drop off out of the radar, and it's tough on the coaches recruiting. It's tough, where Nolan had first choice on a lot of great athletes. Eddie Sutton had first choice. I don't know how many first choices we have right now because the current high school player only thinks of Arkansas's last 2 years, not that 24 straight seasons where we led the nation in attendance and all those kind of things. So it's all image. If we get the image back, our coaches can recruit the stars, and we'll be back.
And I guess the $100 million question is, how do you do that?
Well, the coach has got to get the image back by exciting the fans and exciting the prospects. The prospects don't come to a team that's losing because they got a choice. The good ones got a choice to go where they're winning. We were winning. So we were a natural attraction to the great athletes in this area because our basketball team was winning. There was 20,000 people there to see you play. You come to the game. It was an excitement like none else in America. We've lost that appeal, and the fans and the coaches are having a hard time reselling the prospects who do not know what it was in the past, only know what it was last year.
It's ironic. It could come full circle. You mentioned Eddie Sutton getting it turned around in 1 year. Maybe a guy that was recruited and played for Eddie Sutton, John Pelfrey, can go talk to Coach Sutton, and together they'll bring it back.
Two great players will turn it around in basketball, where in football it takes a lot. And that's what Eddie Sutton did. He got one or two great players, and then from then on, it was just continuing to win because everybody knew we were going to win, and the players knew it. Same thing with Nolan after the first year. Everybody knew he was going to win, so he attracted the players that could really play. He didn't have to take gambles. He took the player that had already proven himself. It wasn't guesswork.
I wish we had more time. We've only got about a minute and a half left here, Coach, but I want to get your feelings on what's changed for the University of Arkansas Just a couple of thoughts since joining the SEC. Is it a much better situation for Arkansas to be in the SEC? Because it seems like it's obviously more difficult to win in this conference.
If we were in the Southwest, we would be better off to be in the Southwest Conference.
Or the Big 12 now?
Well, I don't know about the Big 12. I'm going to let the new regime say that. But what happened, we had to move. We were going to get left out. And the people tell us that we would be an independent. If we hadn't joined the SEC when we did, when the Big 12 formed, we would have to be an independent, and our program would go all the way to the bottom. And being in the Southeast Conference kept us competitive in recruiting. We've been very competitive in most of our sports. We haven't been as consistent in football as we want to be, but we're going to get there.
And it was the move you had to make.
We had to make it. Some other schools were going to join us, and we were going to, like, Texas and A&M were going. No, they were going to join us in the Southeastern Conference.
But they bailed.
But the pressure wouldn't let them.
Yeah. Man. Well, you know what? We've done this a few times. We're going to have to do it some more because I got all my questions in yet, Coach.
Well, I tell you what, when you've been around as long as I have, you enjoy visiting with you. We got a lot of history to go with it, and we don't have all the answers, but we know what's happened in the past, and we can compare it.
Merry Christmas, Coach.
Merry Christmas to you and all the people listening.
That's Frank Broyles, legendary Arkansas athletic director and coach. We appreciate you making Sports Talk part of your day, and we certainly appreciate him stopping by today.